Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Great to have you. It is Friday, and it's still beautiful. The good life. Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Danny, and Colton assisting. They want to break out of here, too, and enjoy the weather. 2 hours. We'll take you along. A lot to get to. We'll get caught up, cover some NFL, some Major League Baseball, some college football, with the Kansas City Stars, Blair Kirkhoff, in about 15 minutes. Brandon Vogel in 1 hour. Bill Dolman, the Pride of Fairbury, in 1 hour. And can join us today on Hail Varsity Radio, 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. Can tap the line. Brought to you by Schilling Bridge, Cork, and Tap House. Also on Twitter at Hail Varsity, at Schmidt underscore radio. Can also email us, Chris at HailVarsity.com. Guests are Blair Kirkhoff, Bill Dolman, Brandon Vogel. We'll talk a little bit more about Nebraska football. Camp will get back at it tomorrow. Coach Riley will speak after practice. Don't believe anything's open tomorrow. And look, a lot on my mind about this 2017 team, and we spent a lot of time talking about Keith Williams and Stanley Morgan and Tyjon Lindsey yesterday. I want to get more meat and potatoes today, and we'll talk offensive line. Before I do that, though, this news out from the Omaha World-Herald about Nebraska, the Board of Regents, and Adidas. It's weird how, and I'm not knocking Adidas, I have a pair on right now, and I kind of got into it because my kid's a shoe nut. He just is. The Entourage episode when Turtle goes searching for the special, and I forget if he was looking at special Jordans or whatever, but it worked out. A lot of parties in the hills, that episode of Entourage, maybe some bathing, clothes optional. But the premise of the story was Turtle searching out some kicks. And if my kid doesn't want to be an engineer, I won't make him. He will own a specialty shoe store someday, okay? He is all about shoes. It's an obsession. We'll spend money on therapy in future years for it. That's his deal. But it's an okay discussion to get into because people are fashionable. Nebraska fans, extremely fashionable. How much Adidas dinero did you drop 20 years ago? You went from Converse to Apex to you're playing and smoking Florida, and you got the Adidas gear on. I was getting into college then, ran out, got some Adidas gear. You know what? What I thought of Adidas before that? Oh, that's what dudes in the 70s wore and won with. That's what soccer dudes would always rock in high school. And eventually, you go to the dark side. It's like, okay, they're right. They're comfortable. They're cool. Nebraska thinks they're real cool right now, especially with Adidas and the Board of Regents considering an 11-year deal worth $128 million. 11 years, $128 million. Let's discuss this for a second before we get into Coach Kavanaugh and toughness while wearing Adidas. Okay, that's what the Board of Regents are doing, considering a new sponsorship agreement with the athletic department, Husker Athletics, and Adidas. 11 years, $128 million. And here's the agreement. Here is the gear and pay portion of this. It would include $64 million in cash and nearly $64.7 million in athletic apparel and equipment products. If approved, and again, this from the World Herald, the proposed agreement will replace the last year of the present contract of the five-year extension that was through this March of 18, okay? Because it was extended back in 13. And once a year, you have the discussion about, well, is it time to say goodbye to Adidas? And right now, no. And if you look at the business trade, you follow Darren Revell, that's how I kind of get my business news. Adidas stock is up. Adidas popularity is up. And Adidas was the company that fumbled signing LeBron. Adidas was the company that had Kobe and then lost Kobe. Adidas was the school that couldn't get it done with Jordan, and look what Nike, but Nike was always kind of there. But Nike went to a whole new stratosphere with Jordan, and there you go. And Harbaugh ditched Adidas for the Jordan brand because kids, even if you're 15, you'll YouTube Jordan. Your older brother will talk about Jordan. Dad or grandpa will marvel about Jordan. And you can go to any shoe store and there's 1,000 pair of Jordan you can go look at. But Adidas now is in. It's seen as pretty cool. And they are the kind of 2.0 version of Nike with the whole Boost products they have. It's what Nike Air was 30 years ago. And recruits love them some Adidas. Kids will wear Nike. Kids love Adidas. And you've got Adidas that is making big-time dents when it comes to the 7-on-7 camps. You have Adidas sponsoring a ton of camps. You have Adidas getting kids out there all parts of the year to play and get better at football and with basketball, okay? Adidas has absolutely been incredible brand-wise for a long time. But it has reinvented itself, and it is the sweet brand to be. And that's with a guy like Harden. That's a guy like Damian Lillard. That's just the basketball side. But from a football standpoint, the recruiting classes of 2018, 2019, 2020, Adidas is hot, and you have this factor also mixed in with it if you're Nebraska to extend this deal. You have Nebraska as a program that's been loyal, that's been paid, that hasn't flip-flopped. And now you have a couple of programs that have been Adidas schools. Notre Dame was an Adidas school forever. Gone, Under Armour, okay? UCLA, forever Adidas, now Under Armour. Wisconsin, forever, they were Adidas or something, now Under Armour. I mean, you've got kind of a pretty elite group of schools, maybe 15 to 17 to 20, I'll double-check in a minute, that are Adidas schools, and I'm talking Louisville, and I'm talking Nebraska, I'm talking the U. Who else is Adidas? I will get that. Tim's been on the line. Tim's holding. Tim, thanks for calling into Hail Varsity. Go ahead, bud.
Schmitty, how you doing, bud?
I'm good. Are you out in the sunshine enjoying yourself, I hope?
You know, we played 18. Well, actually, we played 19 holes because we had extra beer and we needed to finish it.
So you got 18 in today. Ooh.
I got 8. I probably played 36 because the guys I was playing with weren't. I mean, one of them hit the ball sideways, almost killed me twice, but that's details.
That's fine. Hey, it's worse places to be. Good for you.
There are a lot worse places to be. So does this LeVar's ball thing hurt Adidas at all? Does this, I mean...
No, you run towards Adidas. You run towards Adidas because it's not LeVar ball.
So is it no, there's no bad advertising? Is that kind of what we go back to on this?
Well, I think with him, he's just his own little clown act. And you just ignore it. You just do. I see it and I run. Okay. When I look at Adidas, though, I look at how prevalent Adidas is with the camp circuit. Okay.
And Schmitty, give me a second here. You gotta. I'm trying to imagine you running. And it's,
okay.
I mean, it's really throwing me off of my game. I can see Jay running.
Yeah. Well, he's still good at
running.
Well, TJ still running.
It's just not pretty. TJ ran all the way to Omaha. I know. Yeah. I lost all respect for him. I'm still going to call him and give him a hard time every time. But
do it.
I mean, is that going to affect you emotionally? Is your wife okay with having to find a replacement for TJ? How's that working out?
You know, she understands him, quite honestly. She gets it. She totally gets it.
Is John coming into work with you guys?
No, absolutely not. We have Colton and Danny, and they're two awesome dudes, so we're good.
I put in my application. I didn't even get a call back. What's going on with that?
Screening. I don't know. I'm kidding. I don't know. I didn't see an application. I'm kidding.
How many other guys text you on Friday night to tell you how good of a job you're doing on high school football?
You and me are the ones listening. I love you for it. I appreciate it.
Well, that was my only question, is how LeVar Ball affects this Adidas thing with the colleges, especially on football. I'll hang up. I'll let you talk. I'll listen. And you know I love you, and we'll talk to you later, buddy.
Hey, get 36 more in. Take care, bro.
Tell your wife hi. I didn't get to see her last week, but watch. She bought me still looking good.
The Orises are always great. Thank you, Soder.
Talk to you later, buddy.
See you, Tim. Be good, buddy. 36 holes. Did not slur a word. That is vintage right there. Thanks to Tim for calling. 466-3776-800-825-5865. We're talking Adidas and a chance for Nebraska to extend their deal for 11 years. And I believe in year 4 or year 11, hold on, backtrack. Year 4, year 7, they can revisit the length of the 11-year deal. So that is good money for Nebraska. They're being paid for their loyalty. And can I just be real honest for a second? Is Nebraska football at the level right now? If we're just talking wins and losses and national stage, to be able to demand that type of cake? Recently, no. But from a historical blue blood standpoint, absolutely. Nebraska can name their price. Michigan wanted to team up with Jumpman, they could name their price, they did. And Under Armour, that's what's weird about Under Armour, is they have hit the mother load of you know, blackjack hands with between pro golf, between Cam Newton's Super Bowl run, what they've got invested in Major League Baseball from endorsements, with Steph Curry's run. I mean, Under Armour's not missed on a pro athlete. And then they went and wrangled Notre Dame and Wisconsin away. More so Notre Dame. No one. Their stock prices have not been kind. Their earnings reports have not been kind. Kids are buying and wearing Adidas. I get bugged 14 times a day by the kid to buy more Adidas crap. So if Nebraska can pull this thing off, 64 in cash, another 64.7 in gear, do it. I still, though, will dig both heels in at the thought of buying my kid $200 shoes. I just will. But it's not a bad thing for Nebraska. It's going to be up to the Board of Regents to approve it. We all love Adidas. As Brett texts in, shut up about Adidas. No, I love it. You like it too. It's fine. I just say, as a dad, I'm not dropping $200 on a kid that'll probably leave his shoes out and the dog will chew them up and I'll have to hurt both of them. Okay, we'll get into some toughness and offensive line. The question I have, though, is are you good with another extension with Adidas? Do you want Adidas for another 11 years? Do you think it'll – let's play stockbroker for a second. Does it stay hot for the next 11 years? I think so. Absolutely. And it's because of the outreach and branding they've done with the 15 or the 12 to 15-year-olds, 12 to 18-year-olds that are in camps. I mean, it's the gear for football, and it's the gear for casual wear, too. So good for Nebraska, and great for Nebraska and the Board of Regents and Adidas recognizing the partnership. I mean, if you've been to the new look practice facility, I mean, my Lord, there's a lot of Adidas in there. on the walls, proudly sponsoring and promoting the fact that Nebraska is an Adidas school. And I'll have to check and double check here. We'll talk to Blair Kirkhoff here next segment. The Adidas schools in order. I think there's 15 of them. And A&M's one. And that maybe kind of jump-started things. A&M's an Adidas school when Johnny Football's winning the Heisman, beating Bama. It's back in 12. Mississippi State's an Adidas school. Who's out of the ACC's an Adidas school? Louisville. Lamar won the Heisman. He's pretty awesome. So that works out all right. Okay, we're off and running. We will get to offensive line toughness. That'll be a theme. And we'll hear from Coach Kavanaugh, Brandon Vogel next hour. Bill Dolman also on the way. And we'll run down Blair Kirkhoff, get some NFL in with him. We will discuss some Royals baseball with him and get his thoughts on Nebraska football. 7 out of 10, too many. That's the portion of unbuckled vehicle occupants killed on Nebraska roads last year. And if they'd use their seatbelt, 7 out of 10 of those 70% numbers, 69 alive today. Follow the rules. Don't break the law. And a message from the Nebraska Department of Roads and Highway Safety Office.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back with you, it's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Let's get caught up with the Kansas City Stars, Blair Kirkhoff. Blair, thanks for the time. How's your week?
Been busy. It's a fun time of year, isn't it? Crossover time. You know, baseball pennant races going on. NFL training camps have started. College football media days have all just in the books. So it's a busy time, but a great time.
It is. Let's start with the Royals and how you feeling about Kansas City as we enter into August. I know what July. And I know what June were like. I know the 9-game win streak. I know Melky's back. Can this push Kansas City not just to a wild card, but maybe another title run?
The Royals are among the 5 best teams in the American League. Now, are they the 5th? Maybe so. But I think they are among the top 5 teams, along with the Astros, Yankees, Red Sox, and Indians. But it was important, I thought, for them to win last night to beat the Mariners, coming off getting swept in Baltimore. You know, they played so well the previous 10 days before going to Baltimore. They just traded for Cabrera, as you mentioned, and everybody. I mean, that was an incredible feeling in Kansas City. They had won 9 out of 10 or 8 out of 10, whatever it was. They just traded for Cabrera. Feeling really good about themselves, and then they go into Baltimore and don't score a run, it seemed like. I think they ended up scoring 2 or 3 in that series. So they come back to Kansas City, and the mood had turned considerably, and then they get behind the Mariners last night, and people are wondering if this is going to be another one of those April swoons, but it wasn't. They rallied. They got 2 home runs from Brandon Moss. They got enough bullpen pitching to get them through, and ended up stopping the short losing streak, which has to happen. For a team that's competing for a playoff spot, whether it's a division or a wild card, you cannot go into a prolonged losing streak. You're going to lose some games. You're going to have streaks of losses, but you can't have a long one here. Not when it's seemingly close. Tampa Bay, Seattle, Baltimore all think they've got a shot. Minnesota all think they have a shot at the wild card. Kansas City just needs to keep winning, and I thought that's why last night's game was important.
It was, and the thing that I'm not surprised when I see this, because this is how Kansas City's been the last 3 years, but they just don't die. I mean, this is, what was that, last night their 17th win of the season, in which they trailed by 2 runs or so. They had 16 back in the championship year, and I think they had 15 or 16 last season, and you can speak better than I can about the core group of guys in that clubhouse. And I'm talking Perez, and I'm talking Moose, and I'm talking Haas. Those guys, and even Alex to a degree, they all have found ways to be major actors and come back victories over a 3-4 year span. And was that something that you thought could continue to happen? I mean, it's if it happens once, great, but these guys make a habit of it, and that's surprising, and it's pretty spectacular.
Yeah, I think it goes back to the 2014 season when it came out of the All-Star break and didn't play well. They were kind of a 500 team going into the All-Star break, which is great because they, you know the Royals and the history of the Royals. They hadn't been that good in quite a while, but they come out of the All-Star break and start losing some games, and it was a sort of almost a panic time for the organization with Dayton Moore. He was already in his 6th, 7th, 8th year. He had already been pretty far along and was kind of on borrowed time when it came to putting a winner on the field. Well, then they had the incredible August. I think they went 24-6 in August, or had a stretch of 24 wins in 30 games. And that turned it around. Of course, the incredible playoff in 2014 where they got to Game 7 of the World Series. But then in 15, starting with the wild, or then of course that carries into the 2014 wild card game when they're down 4-8, and beat the and beat the Athletics. It carries into the 2015 postseason where they, by all rights, should have lost to Houston in Game 4, down 4 runs in the 8th, and they come back and win that. And they came back from so many deficits against the Astros, the Blue Jays, and trailed in each of the 4 victories that they had in the, the World Series against the Mets. That's what this team became about. They were, they were never out of it. They always had enough pitching to keep things close, and that is that's been their MO, and it just has made them an admirable team with the core of the guys that you mentioned: Perez, Hosmus. I would put Alex Gordon in there, and Alcides Escobar, Danny Duffy, a few others, Kelvin Herrera. So it is a. They're not just winning, but they're fun to watch as well, and that's been kind of a joyful experience for Midwest baseball fans the last few years.
It's been a treat. Blair Kirkhoff's with us, Kansas City Star at Blair Kirkhoff on Twitter. Blair, what role do you see Alex Gordon have moving forward in the outfield? You get Melky, and the outfield's not set it on fire by any means, but Alex has continued to stay at that 200 number. The RBI and home run power numbers haven't increased. Will he see more time off, in your opinion?
Yes, I think the Cabrera trade kind of guarantees that he will he'll be sitting against some left-handed pitching. And I want to say, I haven't studied them. I think tonight might be. I don't know if the lineup's out yet, but I think they face a lefty starter tonight. And this would be interesting to see what where Gordon. If he's in the lineup or not. And then you would have, my guess, you'd have Cabrera and Bonifacio in the outfield. I think Cabrera is going to play every day, whether it's in right or left. And then you've got at-bats being taken away from Bonifacio, Gordon, and Brandon Moss, either in left, right, or DH. So he's going to lose some, but he's not going to lose a ton. His defense is too valuable, and he is a core guy. And look, if you got Alex Gordon batting ninth, he's got to be the most professional ninth place hitter in baseball. Guy who's been a World Series hero, and he's had as many accomplishments as he has. He's batting ninth. I'll take that. I hate that he's hitting 200, I wish things had fallen differently for him here since the injury last year. He just never has seemed to be the same since then. Maybe he'll step out of it. I don't know about this year, but maybe next year we'll see a different player, a different approach. But it's been tough to watch from covering the Royals, just to see him struggle at the plate like he has.
Blair, I want to spend a couple minutes on college football, and how big a year is it for the Big 12? And I know there's a conference title game and got a couple of playoff contenders in the Cowboys and Sooners, but two of the last 3 years, the Big 12 has missed the 4-team playoff spot. Is it imperative that they get a team in this year, or do you think, with Herman down at Texas, and if things keep rolling at Oklahoma, Okie State's going to be extremely talented, it seems like, every 4 or 5 years. Same with K-State. Do you think the league's okay if they don't get in another year?
That's a good question. It really has hurt the pride of the conference to miss the college football playoff in 2 of the 3 years. And of course, the year they went there, Oklahoma, you know, got bludgeoned in the second half by Clemson in 2015. So it hasn't been, it just hasn't been a great time. And even before that, in the last few years, ever since Texas lost to Alabama in the for the 09 championship, there hasn't been a Big 12 team involved in the national championship conversation. So it's been tough for the Big 12. So there is some pressure on this league to get it done and to have a team get through to the college football playoff and have success there. Bob Bowlsby said it at Big 12 Media Days a couple weeks ago. It's not, it's just not even getting to the CFP. It's winning the national championship. And I think it's really important for the long-term future of the conference to have some success in that sport. And I think Texas, I think Oklahoma, both, even with new coaches this year, I think they're poised to Oklahoma to maintain and Texas to improve. But I think it's important for both of those bell cow programs to be good and to be competitive nationally. I throw Oklahoma State in there as well because of the experienced coach and Mike Gundy. Because if Oklahoma and Texas don't feel like they can compete nationally in the Big 12, then I think that could influence their decision maybe to look elsewhere in a different conference. Maybe they feel like they have to go to an SEC or a Big 10 to compete nationally. So I do think it's important for them to be able to get to the college football playoff from the Big 12, and I think it's possible. You know, they're still really well positioned in terms of recruiting location to get some of the best players in the country from Texas, but now they got to do it. They've got to cash in on their location, and I think that can happen.
Blair, a thought on Nebraska before we talk Chiefs camp. It's year three for Mike Riley. I'm sure you've kind of had your eyes and ears open for Nebraska, just knowing that you've covered college football and check out the national scene, not just the SEC or the Big 12. And being at camp and practice here this week, it's a different feel and look to me watching them. I think they're pretty poised, pretty hungry, and that's a cliched storyline I understand this time of year, but it does look and feel different. What are you thinking about Nebraska moving forward? Do you think they kind of jump up the old game board, so to speak, and inch closer towards a Wisconsin and some of those power teams in the East? Or do you still think it's a bit of a transitional year for maybe a bigger jump in a season?
You know, I was surprised when the coaches poll came out. It was yesterday, I think, right?
Yes.
And was Nebraska like 36th or something like that?
Yes,
in the
mid 30s.
In the mid 30s, and I don't know if I expect them to be in the top 25, but if not the top 25, I thought maybe they'd be in the top 30. You know, just out. And for them to, for there to be the perception that there are 33, 34 programs. Better considered at this point. That surprises me a little bit. I don't know. When we talk about the SEC now, we used to talk about the difference between the divisions. The West has it all over the East, mm-hmm. but I think in the SEC now, the difference is between Alabama and everybody else.
Right.
In the SEC.
Blair, hang on the line if you could. We'll get back into Nebraska football and spend a few minutes talking Chiefs football as Blair Kirchhoff is with us here on Hail Varsity Radio. Blair, we'll continue our chat with Blair, get into the Chiefs, get some more thoughts on the Big Ten versus the SEC. How about some more thoughts on diamonds with Rick and your friends at Sauter Heyman, your exclusive dealer of pure-grown diamonds, Sauter Heyman, 12th and O downtown. Also, South Point Pavilion in Lincoln or out west. Your friends in Grand Island have Sauter Heyman. Pure-grown diamonds, 10 to 40% less than traditional earth-mined diamonds. Pure-grown diamonds grown in a lab. All the beauty of earth-mined diamonds. Log on today, SauterHeyman.com. See those pure-grown diamonds from Sauter Heyman. More with Blair Kirchhoff next.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back with you, it's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. A few more minutes with Blair Kirchhoff. And Blair, we were talking about the Big Ten. Are they in danger of kind of becoming like the SEC, too top-heavy with Ohio State?
I'm starting to think that way about the Big Ten. with Ohio State, that there's such a difference between the Buckeyes and just about everybody else in that conference that it just makes it really difficult for the Wisconsins and Nebraskas, Iowas to make a move on the national level. Penn State, of course, had the great sure. Great year in the Big Ten title last year. I think I'm starting to lean that way anyway about the Big Ten, that maybe it's become a real one team conference, and it's tough for anybody else to get through. Which means that Nebraska has to take care of its business in non-conference play, has to win conference home games, and then take its chances against the heavyweights on the road and hope to win one of those. They had a chance at Wisconsin last year and fell just short. To me, that's what it's about for Nebraska. Get back to double-digit victories. Get back to major bowls. If it's not the college football playoff, it's been too long. That's for sure. It's been too long for Nebraska not being in the conversation for the national championship.
Blair Kirkhoff with us, Kansas City Star, Hail Varsity Radio. Blair, last thought, and thanks for a few minutes. The Chiefs are in the middle of training camp. You've been your eyes are on Kansas City, and as you look at the Chiefs, as you look at Mahomes, and as you kind of check the landscape of the AFC, where do you think Kansas City fits in? Are they still just right behind New England, kind of there with Oakland? And I know Denver's had some transitional issues at quarterback, but man, their defense is good, and you still have Pittsburgh and maybe Indy's back. I mean, where do you think the Chiefs fall heading into this season in the pecking order of the AFC?
You know, I thought that when last year ended, even though the Chiefs were eliminated at home by the Steelers, I really did think that over the course of the year, they were the second-best team in the AFC behind New England. Now, I think it was a pretty good gap. I don't think the Chiefs, if they had found a way to get by Pittsburgh in that playoff game, would have gone to New England and won the game. But I thought the year ended. So the Chiefs in the offseason made a flurry of moves, and they got rid of a lot of veteran presence players. Jamal Charles is in Denver, and Jeremy Maclin's in Baltimore, and Dontari Poe is in Atlanta, and so I think they're going to be able to maintain their strength and be a contender in the AFC West. But I think I'll listen to the argument that Oakland's a better team going into the season, especially with a healthy quarterback, and it'll be between those two teams. They're both playoff teams, the Raiders and the Chiefs. I think it'll be between them for the division and home field in the playoffs. And I would say that the Chiefs are still along the top four or five teams in the AFC, which when you get to the playoffs, you have a chance. And we're going to know a lot more about where the Chiefs stand in their opener. They open the season at New England on Thursday night. So they've got that first NFL game, and they're excited about it here at training camp. They talk about it all the time. We'll see how that one unfolds. But I think it's a playoff team, and they've been a playoff team three of the last 4 years, winning record all 4 years of Andy Reid. They got the quarterback of the future on the roster with Patrick Mahomes, and there's excitement there. I don't know if they added to their offense, and I think that'll continue to be the side of the ball that you take a look at. I do think their defense will be one of the best in the NFL, though.
No, their defense and the way it's been constructed is masterful, and they get after the quarterback. Blair Kirkhoff, Kansas City Star with us, Hail Varsity Radio, at Blair Kirkhoff on Twitter. Blair, we'll talk soon. Thanks again for a few minutes.
Okay, Chris, take care.
Good to get caught up with Blair Kirkhoff, and Blair covers it all. Was slammed on Wednesday, was supposed to join us, ended up having to make it work today. I'm thankful he did, and it'll be interesting to see how much time Alex Gordon will get with that outfield rotation. And you hope Alex, if you're a Nebraska fan, kind of snaps out of how difficult it has been for him this season. Melky will help. The offensive numbers for Kansas City per outfielder has been rough, but you've had great years from, obviously, Moose from a power standpoint. Hawes is over 300. Salvi. And you just kind of scrapped together some runs, and it's worked out. And your pitching's not been awful, but you'll need better work from your bullpen moving forward You can't have that Baltimore series kind of jump up and bite you. So, and you got a slew of American League teams in the chase. You just do. And can you keep playing great baseball? The thing you have as an organization is the experience of the last 2 years. You got your core group together. You make it about one more rodeo because you're not going to keep all of them. And at least you kept them to get another run at it versus, well, you want to take the furniture? Some of you remember the old Marlins squad of 97. Where you, I think of Conine the Barbarian, the mother of all postseasons. If you're a Cleveland fan, you still weep about that. I apologize. But you had Bobby Bonilla. Who else? Gary Sheffield, the pincushion. I mean, you bought a team, then you sold a team. It's a great 3 months. South Beach was awesome. Ah, you're not bringing me back? Okay. You can't do that. And Kansas City hasn't. But for how many years as a Royals fan did you scream and moan about how bad you were, and then you went back to what worked, the John Sherhold School of scouting and developing and farm system and development. And you got the old Dominican Academy going again. And it's been awesome for you. And that core group of drafts from 04 through 07 has been okay for you, for the most part. And you've paid some guys. You've made some moves. You haven't sat on your hands. Is Melky the answer? Seems to like Kansas City. He loves his core group of dudes. Maybe he can flip the switch. Let's be honest. The guy's out of Detroit. So he's happy. He's extremely happy for that. So good for him. We'll dive into Coach Kavanaugh and just what that offensive line can be in 2017. Bill Dolman is 15 minutes away, the Pride of Fairbury. Did Bill's thoughts. Bill Dolman from NBC Sports. Billy Deal will join us. We'll get his thoughts on Nebraska and some college football stuff. I'm sure Bill will talk Adidas. Bill was around when Adidas first came to the party with a bunch of shoes and some money for Nebraska. Then Brandon Vogel will join us in hour two as well. 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. Caller 4, caller 5, right now a 6-month online subscription for you to HailVarsity.com. The ultimate online fan experience, a great message board, community, inside info, recruiting analysis, breaking news. It's there for you and it's on us for you. Caller 4, caller 5, a 6-month online subscription for you. Caller 4, caller 5, 466-3776.
He's in his 30s, but sounds like he was born with a stogie in one hand and a brew in the other.
Now, say my name.
It's Schmitty on Hail Varsity Radio.
I got the body of a taut preteen Swedish boy.
Thank you, Kramer. It's Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com. Presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Nebraska football. Mike Riley will have a chance to say a few words tomorrow after practice. And it's almost been a week of fall camp. And the takeaways are this. Some of the young guys are talented and have a chance to play. You don't know who your running back's going to be yet. You need a guy to emerge. You have the talent in an arm at quarterback that you have not had in a long, long time. And defensively, you have a secondary group that is embracing the challenge despite their experience level at corner. And you have a guy wanting to go out in a blaze of glory at safety in Josh Kalu. And you've got a lot of talent at safety. You have a lot of options. You got a linebacking core that they're excited, and you have a linebacking core that they have the right mentality not only to go play well in this transition, but also show a bunch of dudes that are extremely athletic how to practice right, how to prepare right, and then maybe you show them how to go get some big wins this year, or you build up to it. I mean, between Young and Newbie, Newbie's kind of the gray hair of the group, along with Weber, both seniors. Don't ask me about outside linebacker, your hybrid guy. That's still a work in progress, because I think they've got the pass rushers, but do they have a cover guy? If they got a cover guy, do they have a pass rusher? That's where you got to be flexible with this thing if you don't have that personnel. And speaking of that spot at outside linebacker, it is so awesome to have a guy that's Lawrence Taylor or Von Miller or Mike Kroll or Broderick Thomas, or you got on the list of guys either locally or nationally you've heard about, watched growing up, that are just beasts off the edge. I was talking to my buddy pharmacist Jeff last night. He was in Greeley because he just likes to visit Donkeyland. He likes to go to the NFL training camp and watch Denver. And he was raving about Von Miller returning punts. He was there. He took his kids. He was also raving about how they were doing pass rush drills. And Von Miller, I mean, the guy trying to block him would be in jail in most countries for the amount of contact in a contact sport that he tried to get away with on Von, and it didn't matter. He whiffed. That's what you're dealing with. And that's what you're looking for, by the way, at that spot to complete this defense for Nebraska. You can find dudes that can pass rush, but can you find guys in coverage? You need it to both work. Because then if you don't have it, it takes that versatility and element of surprise away. You're weak on a spot. They're working on it. Bill Dolman, NBC Sports, Pride of Fairbury next on Hail Varsity Hour 2 on the way.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz_radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Hour 2, it is Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, big thanks to Danny and Colton holding it down. And we welcome in the Pride of Fairbury, NBC Sports' Bill Dolman with us. Billy D., how are you, sir?
You know, I'm doing okay, actually, getting ready for the weekend and the start of the World Track and Field Championship. So excited about that.
No, I want to hear more about the track and field championship after we talk some college football. That okay with you?
All right, bring it.
Okay, Adidas, 11 years, a monster deal. Could be approved by the Board of Regents. And I need better short-term memory before you make a comment on that. I just need to take better notes, Bill. So the $129 million, something like that, 11 years, $129 million extension, half in gear and $64 million in cash. Adidas, you're a pretty smart guy. You were there when Adidas came in to Nebraska in 95. Did you imagine this relationship would last as long as it has?
I think at the time when Nebraska signed the deal, I think the Huskers were their first, or if not one of, it's the
seven
first,
Notre Dame, I think.
Well, we don't count them. significant college contract. It was like their foray into it. And I have said forever, all those people who say Nebraska is not a national brand, whatever the case might be, this is proof positive that it still very much is. Because if Adidas wanted to back down at all, now, granted, they're doing, you know, contracts with lots of other schools, but the first school they went to a decade ago was Nebraska. Maybe Notre Dame. I don't care. It was Nebraska, right? Because they knew that if they went with the Big Red, that they had a national reach from the heartland, coast to coast, border to border. Smart move on their part. What's happened with Adidas since then? Sure, they've got other business interests. Well, Nebraska gets on board. Other schools get on board. I mean, that gave them credibility in the college apparel world, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they target a really big, prominent fish to help launch themselves. And what have they done now, a dozen years later? They want to stay with Nebraska because it is a national brand. It is a prominent brand. Men's sports, women's sports, primarily football, but it's a big deal to have the Big Red on the dotted line. And I think that just further establishes Nebraska as, you know, significantly prominent as a national brand. Adidas is a global industry,
mm-hmm.
and they've certainly done well in the hip-hop and the rap world.
Yeah.
They've done well athletically, everything, but to launch themselves to compete with Nike at a time when everybody's with Nike and wants to be with Nike, they went to Nebraska to launch them, and I think it's A, I think they're wanting to redo the deal because it makes sense for them business-wise, and I think there's a certain loyalty that, you know, Nebraska was the one who essentially kind of took a chance on them. You know, and Under Armour's done well over the last 5 years, and certainly they've been really smart in who they've attached themselves to. Nike, not so much, but Jordan Spieth and Steph Curry come to mind.
Yeah.
In that whole apparel war. But when Adidas wanted into college sports, they went to Nebraska, and they stay with Nebraska because they know it's good for business.
Bill Dolman's
now,
with...
that said, if those guys go purple or black or whatever color, the yeah. Lincoln High hand-me-downs, the UNO Mavericks,
it's the 97th. It's the 97 tribute uniforms. It looks great this year. They look good.
Well, we should be wearing that all the time. I mean, I don't understand how 97 is a throwback. Like, oh, look at the alternative. No, that's great. We're going retro to that. But when we wore purple and black, that was the dumbest thing ever. And
it's in the contract, you're saying? No bad alternative uniforms?
And if you're ever going to do those, you know, something stupid, do it on the road. Okay. Do not mess with the uniform at home unless you are going to honor the Big Red and the way it looks when it is at Memorial Stadium. If you want to do something stupid at Illinois, fine. Nobody's watching anyway. But don't do it at home, all right? That ought to be in the contract. That ought to be like item one, the Dolman addendum.
Don't embarrass.
Nothing stupid at home.
Bill Dolman, negotiator, joining
remember,
us here on Hail Varsity
wore,
Radio.
Like, we wore Lincoln High hand-me-downs. We wore Minnesota Viking hand-me-downs. We wore UNO when they shut down the program at UNO. Hey, let's just use theirs and put three stripes on them. Stupid.
It was electrical tape. Bill? Here are the Adidas schools, and I wonder if Adidas is trying to go Studio 54, or that was more their mindset with less is more, right? The niche, you're proud enough to be an Adidas school. Not everyone gets to be an Adidas school. We have Nebraska, and you have A&M, and you have Louisville, and Arizona State, and the U, and Mississippi State, and Kansas, and Indiana. I mean, it spread pretty well. I mean, Nebraska and Miami, pretty iconic programs. Louisville and Kansas and Indiana, iconic. And A&M, a lot of people love them. Some A&M in the state of Texas and around the country. And they kind of flashed with Johnny Football's Heisman year as an Adidas school. I mean, it's worked out well. I'm looking here at an Adidas three-stripe life tweet, and Adidas stock up 159.37% the last 2 years. Why do you think it's expanded and blown up so much? I mean, I was talking earlier. My kid bugs me three times a day about getting Adidas crap.
Well, I think I read recently that, you know, their foray, or not just really a four-way, it's more what the hip-hop and rap community has done for Adidas. You know, I'm not exactly sure Adidas signs, you know, those artists to contracts, mm-hmm. but nevertheless, they've done fairly well, and that's created a buzz with the pre-millennials. I don't even know what they call those guys anymore who are in their teenage years. But they've done very well.
They're recruits, Bill.
Yeah, you know, they've done very well with with that generation. I don't know if it has anything to do with, you know, them being smart marketing-wise, but certainly what they've done with the teenagers has caused their stock to rise, I guess, and made them more valuable. And, yeah, maybe it is that they've been strategic in the schools that they've targeted and positioned them around the country as opposed to going, you know, everybody going wanting to sign with Nike, and you can't name all the Nike schools, but you can name all the Adidas schools. And Nebraska, you know, I think maybe it's a smart business move in that regard. I think with Texas A&M, they're going to do whatever Texas doesn't do. Or, you know, if Texas signed with Adidas, A&M would go with Keds tomorrow, you know, because they're going to do whatever Texas doesn't do. They don't want to be in the same bed with the Longhorns.
Right.
So that was smart.
Bill, wanted to get your thoughts on Nebraska. It's been a good first week at camp, and you have some young talent that has a chance to help. You got some veterans on the offensive line, which is key because there's a lot of unknowns or question marks at a lot of other spots, and not question marks on talent or ability, but question marks on, you know, history. You haven't done it before at this level. Or it's kind of your time to shine now, and I'm thinking of Stanley Morgan. I'm thinking of Tanner Lee. Stanley's been here, yes, but now he goes from a complimentary option to the option. The offensive line, they're working together to gel, and there's Tanner Lee. What do you think about Lee and in comparison to some of the other quarterbacks? I'm not asking you to list off all the quarterbacks Nebraska plays, but my view on it is in most games, Nebraska's going into even or ahead when it comes to quarterback advantage. Do you agree with that?
I don't know. Tanner Lee has certainly done everything right from my vantage point since he's been on campus. You know, sitting out, saying all the right things, did a great job in spring, presented himself extremely well to the media, to the national media, Big Ten, all that kind of stuff. So he's done all the right things, kind of like Mike Riley. Yeah. When Mike Riley comes in as the head coach, you know, he said all the right things, went out and did the meet and greets, did the Nebraska tour. You know, he's everybody's friend, and everybody seems to like the guy. And I think the same holds true for what Tanner Lee has done. But now you got to go play, you know, and it still stands out to me that out of high school, he went to Tulane. It's not as though he was a highly recruited quarterback. Now Tulane's a fine institution academically, but, you know, he's making a big step up from playing in, God, I don't even know what conference they're in anymore. It's Conference USA, Sun Belt. I don't know.
The C, so, what was it? It's what UConn and those guys are in.
Yeah, but
the former Conference USA.
My point is, he's done everything right, but now he's got to go play.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think everybody wants him to succeed because he has, you know, it represented Nebraska very well. And by all accounts, he's done well at camps and all that. Mm-hmm. I mean, nobody's going to say anything bad about the guy. Nobody's going to say anything bad about anybody for the most part.
I've got a theory on why he went to Tulane, and I did some research on who was after him. And the guy that really wanted him was Mullen down in Mississippi State. And mm-hmm. he's been pretty good with specifically Dak down there, okay? And I can't think of a quarterback before or after Dak, but Dak's in the NFL, and he had him ranked number one for about 2 weeks. So Mullen was the main guy. Louisiana Tech was there, and it was Tulane. And at the time, Tulane had put the most guys into the NFL. They at the time, when he chose to go to Tulane, they had about five guys in the league. Were they ripping it up in the NFL? No. But they had put the most quarterbacks into the NFL. Right now, it's Mike Riley that has the most quarterbacks active in the NFL. So I think that played mm-hmm. a part into not only Tulane, but also Nebraska.
Okay. Well, that's a great theory. And you clearly did a lot of work and put some graphs together. Use your protractor and your compass. You know, he did. I don't recall him being highly regarded coming out of high school. And I don't recall Tulane doing a whole heck of a lot in the time that I was around that neighborhood.
Sure.
And he'll be playing in front of 90 to 100,000 people. When he was at Tulane, he was playing in front of 90 to 100.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is going to be a completely different game. Now, he has matured. There's no question he's not an 18, 19-year-old kid anymore. But was he 21, 22?
Yeah, 22.
So there's a maturity that comes with, you know, just having been in college, having been in the program, having sat out a year, having gotten acclimated to Mike Riley's offense. I do think he's going to play extremely well. I think Nebraska is going to have better quarterback play this year than it had the last couple of years. That's not to say that Tommy Armstrong wasn't a great leader, didn't play with a lot of heart, didn't run the ball well, but we all know he used to make some catastrophic mistakes, speaking of football. But the bottom line is, I think that they have a guy who has a savvy as a quarterback that will give them better play than what they've seen. I'm interested to see how good of a runner he is, because Tommy Armstrong always had that ability that there was. He wasn't a Tommy Frazier threat to run, but he had the ability to run the ball if need be. Right. Now, I don't know what kind of running quarterback Tanner Lee is going to be, and I think you have to have that in the Big Ten. Not everybody has that, but I think Nebraska has to have a quarterback that is a threat to run the ball. Brooke Behringer was not, you know, able to run the ball like Tommy Frazier did, but he could get the job done if need be. And I think if Jerry Godowski, guys like that, that can run if need be, then I think he'll be better than, you know, what people expect after a year away from the game.
I think he's evasive enough in the pocket, and I think there's some things he can bring that Tommy didn't, specifically when it comes to pocket presence. That's been a storyline here. Bill, I have about 90 seconds, a little less than. I need the Bill Dolman NBC Sports update for this weekend.
Well, here's the deal. You want to get up early in the morning at 4 a.m.
Or just
and you're gonna
stay
want to
up
start
when you
watching.
Get home.
You're going to want to start watching. Yeah, exactly. You get home from Duffy's or the Rail, if they're still around, and just watch track all morning, all overnight. And we've got prelims on Saturday and Sunday and also next weekend. I know Rick Schwieger, Rick Allen is over in London as one of the main play-by-play announcers. I'll be calling a lot of the prelims tomorrow for the, I don't know all the events I have, shot put, the 400, the women's 100, Elaine Thompson, Tori Bowie, excited about that. Pole vault's going to be fantastic. I've got that on Sunday. So it's a lot of fun. They have Tathlon. But everybody's got their eyes on, you know, Usain Bolt. It's unfortunate that Andre DeGrasse from Canada got hurt. And if anybody in the world, maybe Justin Gatlin, because he did run well in the Diamond League. But if anybody was going to challenge Usain Bolt this weekend in London, it was going to be Andre DeGrasse. But now I think you're going to see Bolt run away from the field, literally. He's not going to touch his world record time, but that's one of the highlights of the first weekend of our coverage on NBC. The Olympic channel at NBCSN is watching Usain Bolt sprint.
At Bill Dolman on Twitter, you can find him on NBC Sports. With track and field this weekend. Billy D, we'll catch up next week, my man. Thanks for a few minutes.
Thank you. Goodbye.
There he is. Bill, the pride of Fairbury, Dolman, with us on Hail Varsity Radio. Love talking to Billy D on Fridays. Brandon Vogel's going to be with us. We may have him mix in a drink of the week. It's been too long. A little barbecue flavor and some camp reaction from Hail Varsity's Brandon Vogel.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Big thanks to Bill Dolman, NBC Sports, track and field. I always want to ask him about East German swim team, but I can't anymore. Thank you, democracy. Bring in Brandon Vogel at HailVarsity.com and magazine. Vogues, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well. How are you, Steve?
I'm good, man. I have been like aching to talk offensive line all day, and with the Adidas deal potentially got sidetracked talking Adidas and the deal that's in front of the Board of Regents and Nebraska to make this thing an 11-year deal, and then just kind of the rise. And Adidas has always been like big time globally, but it is a monster when it comes to camps in basketball and in football, and it's been embraced by potential recruits, future recruits. And I was going to start this on the old Hail Varsity message board, but your first pair of Adidas, how old were you?
That's a good question. The first pair that I remember, I'm sure I had pairs as a kid, but the first pair I remember, and the ones that kind of made me an Adidas fan were the first Kobes, the feet you wear design. As a kid who grew up playing a lot of basketball, I was firmly a Nike guy up to that point. Not in the way that like actually good basketball players are Nike guys. But that was my shoe of preference. And those first Kobes kind of switched me. They were super comfortable. And from then on, well, I just kept getting older, and Adidas is good if you like some classic shoe style. So I've just kind of stuck with them.
Well played, sir. Well played. I think I did the a black and red pair, and it, no mistake, was high school years during the 60-3 run. it's just what it was. So now, and to move this further versus our shoe story time, what do you think of this for Nebraska if this is approved? I mean, kind of ballpark this for me. I know you have a story on HailVarsity.com about the potential of it, but 11 years. And this is what I was just kind of talking out loud about was, is Adidas still going to be as strong in 11 years? Let's say we're having the same conversation in 11 years. Is it still going to be right there for market share and brand with Nike? I don't, or does it happen to be, you know, British Knights or Reeboks? I mean, I'm asking, does it stay brand strong?
I think it's still going to outpace BK's. I'm confident in that much. That was good pull on your part, though. it's sort of impossible to tell. Like, Adidas has been exploding over the past 2 or 3 years. But anytime you see those numbers, you look at market share and you just see how big Nike's lead is on everybody. But it's one of those things that's about momentum. I think Nebraska was able to sort of negotiate a new deal at exactly the right time. And I do feel like Adidas, with the numbers in this deal, is rewarding Nebraska a little bit, not just because it's doing really well at the moment, Adidas that is, but for the loyalty and the partnership they've had for over 20 years. Because, look, Nebraska's deal, as it appeared in those minutes that will be, discussed next week, is pretty similar to what Michigan got when it left Adidas to go to Nike and had all the fanfare around that deal. It's about the same numbers. Now, there's no way that Nebraska commands the market share just in terms of merchandise sold. I mean, Michigan's enrollment is almost twice Nebraska's when you just think of alumni out there that may want to buy the latest and newest gear, no matter who it's from. So it's really, I think, pushing the upper limit of probably what Nebraska's value is right now. So I think you have to ask about sort of what's in store for the future in terms of Nebraska. What's Adidas seeing in terms of the value of that beyond their longest-term partner in this space? It's really interesting on a number of fronts.
It is, and I love that you talked about Michigan, because that's an example I cited about an hour ago, that one of the first things Harbaugh did, they were an Adidas school for that first year, but once it expired, he shifted to Nike, and it made major headlines with the Jumpman Jordan brand, and it made... I mean, you have the Michigan history. You're going to go to the league if you play there and you're good. You got the Harbaugh factor, and now you got Jordan backing you. Wow. I mean, it was who cares what they did on the field? You had all this PR floating around because of who you're in bed with now. Well, Nebraska will have, it's not Jumpman, but Adidas is pretty impressive. The length and amount of the deal is extremely impressive. And you got guys at IMG or out on the West Coast or down in Texas or whoever's at the next 7-on-7 camp sponsored by Adidas. They'll see that, and it's kind of birds of a feather. I mean, I think the mileage you'll get out of this here as you lead up to the season, that's not accidental either if this is approved.
No, absolutely not. And, you know, Michigan got a lot of attention for that.
It was becoming
the first football program to be Jordan brand. You know, the logo looks cool. Even on a football jersey, you could loop in Jeter, a Michigan guy who was always associated with Jordan brand. But you really don't hear about it any much anymore. I mean, it's not like, now granted, we're not tied in tightly to Michigan schools. Are they landing kids because they're Jordan brand now?
I think it absolutely helped initially. Absolutely.
Oh, did it? Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it seems to me, though, that a lot of that buzz, just in terms of you know, watching Twitter all day, which is kind of part of my job, is shifting towards Adidas at the moment. You know, you see some of the recruits that Nebraska has landed. I don't have any sort of concrete evidence to go on there, but I don't think it's entirely unrelated. It is a great time to be with Adidas right now, and Nebraska happens to be. And you think about how quickly things have shifted. You know, 5 years ago when they signed that deal, it was kind of a 2 or 3 day topic where it was like, oh, Nebraska's sticking with Adidas. Shouldn't they be at Under Armour or Nike, someplace that's hotter? Well, they are, and they got there by sticking with the sort of brand they've been with since the start.
And they're getting paid for it. That's nice. Brandon Vogel with us, ALVarsity.com and magazine. Vogues, what's been your favorite storyline through the first week of camp?
Well, you know, it's sort of, you warm up a little bit. I guess my favorite storyline has been that we haven't had to cover any huge injury news yet. Gabe Warner, according to his dad, at least, broke his hand. But I think that's the thing you always worry about with this first week and a half of camp. You know, players go through off-season conditioning. It's not what it was in terms of having to come in and work yourself into shape in August. So guys are a lot better there. But you hope, particularly as they move into the padded sessions, that you can just avoid those injuries. You know you're going to get a couple every fall camp, and they have the potential to drastically change things. So my favorite storyline might be the absence of a storyline so far. Otherwise, it's been kind of what you expected. You know, everyone's happy and positive at the start of fall camp. Nothing's truly an issue. Nebraska's going to be fine at cornerback. The offensive line's going to be better, et cetera, et cetera. So it's still always that balance of kind of sifting through of what's actually here, what can you kind of buy, and then most importantly, now that we get to see some practices, what can you see for yourself?
Well, the young guys they've brought in have been very talented and not afraid to push the limits, and some of the guys in the program that are still young have also bought in. And I mean, I loved how honest Lamar Jackson was earlier this week. I mean, that's something that's kind of been something to think about and talk about, but also just the you see a guy get it, a young guy get it, which is really cool. I think the quarterbacks have looked good. You don't know who's going to be your running back. Offensive line here, folks, got about 3 minutes. And do you think there's a little more comfort on the line? Yeah, they've played together. Yeah, Foster's now next to Gates. But do you think they're feeling pretty good about all five of the guys, meaning that move by Conrad to center? I mean, do you think that maybe was the cherry on top?
Yeah, it seems that way. You know, that happened about, excuse me, if I remember correctly, happened about a week before the spring game. It was kind of a surprise drop in during practice. It was kind of, oh, Cole Conrad's playing at center. But it does seem like they're pretty happy with that first five, at least. And we know that, you know, at least over the past 2 years, that's kind of been their preference, is if you've got five and they're healthy, let's go with the five. That's always going to be an issue, the last part there, staying healthy on the offensive line. But I do think there's a chance to develop some depth here. So it all sounds good to this point. Like, I think the pieces are there. You have to like the experience. You have to like the talent, although, to be fair, I feel like I've always felt pretty good about Nebraska's talent on the offensive line for the most part over the past 5 or 6 years. So it's still very much a prove-it spot for me here. Even if there aren't sort of the personnel questions, the, you know, who's filling what spot sort of discussions that we're having elsewhere. I just got to see that group kind of perform and do it together before I'm totally ready to buy in.
2 minutes left. Shot clock is on. I need a barbecue recipe / thought for the weekend. We didn't do this summer because it's been kind of helter-skelter with schedules. And I need either a drink of the week or a barbecue pick from Vogues here as the shot clock's now down to almost 90 seconds.
Okay. Barbecue, I'm sad. It's good we didn't do it this summer because I haven't done much barbecuing for whatever reason. So I'm thinking I better get a couple weekends in before football season starts in full. For a drink of the week, I can give you Elysian Space Dust IPA, which is quite good. If you're into IPAs, it's pretty fruity. It comes with a kick. I think it's about 8% alcohol. I'm trying to remember where Elysian is.
Night.
It's a brewery that has locations in Washington, Colorado. You can find it pretty readily around the Midwest. I think the first place I had it was St. Louis. Definitely worth checking out. Don't drink two or three of them. Otherwise, you will be going night, but a very good IPA.
There we have it. The drink of the week from Brandon Vogel, HailVarsity.com and magazine at Brandon L. Vogel on Twitter. Vogues, we will talk to you tomorrow morning. I have 10 seconds left. Where can folks get your book?
Anywhere books are sold. Amazon.com, BN.com. You can get it straight from the University of Nebraska Press.
Okay. It's John Cook and Brandon Vogel. Who wouldn't want to read that? I love it. It's awesome. Amazon.com. It's where you go. Vogues, we'll talk to you tomorrow morning, sir, with the weekend edition. Right. Thanks, bud.
Thanks.
There he is. Brandon Vogel with us. Good to hear from him. And we'll finally get to that Coach Kavanaugh audio.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Big thanks to Brandon Vogel, Bill Dolman. Let's talk offensive line. And you read the comments or heard the comments about the offensive line embracing their responsibility. Great story by Jacob Padilla, HailVarsity.com, where you go for Husker news and insight. But chemistry has been a talking point that's very, very common this time of year. And I think you're going to have a greater chemistry on this offensive line. And that's not to knock guys on the O-line last year. You just had guys on the O-line. It was shuffled, right? How many starts did you have on the offensive line where it was the same five? Maybe through Oregon? Maybe three? You had Gates on one leg. I mean, Farmer got rolled up on. Utter, I swear to God, his poor right hand looks like he's doing the whole Vulcan symbol still to this day because it got stepped on. And then you didn't have Foster till the final three games of the year. And then Neville got hurt. So here comes Conrad to the rescue. Thanks. And then sound like a real... That makes a lot of sense, I guess, as to why you averaged under two a carry against Iowa and Tennessee. And that isn't because of the talent on the field. Both those teams got worked by the defensive lines by Tennessee and Iowa. But it's those guys weren't there together. I think you probably have better couple of options at center this year. I think guys feel pretty comfortable about Conrad at center, where he's just not going to say no or tap out. And that's not that Utter did either. But I think Utter got beat up a few times in the middle, threw things off. And we'll see if Conrad wins the job or Decker takes it or whatever. But you have options. And you've had a group of guys now that – had an off season. They had the end of the regular season. You got one more rodeo for Neville, who has all the ability in the world. You heard Verge talk about it a little bit yesterday, about what the offensive line needs to be. And he's right. If you're getting your butt kicked by the defense, you either just keep taking it or you respond. And maybe they'll respond. Their plan is to respond. And you respond with toughness, because that is a need and more than a theme for Nebraska in 2017 on the offensive line. And they didn't, let's be honest, the offensive line and the team physically did not look like they were the dominant team. If you would have traded helmets against Indiana, against Illinois, specifically, until they got wore down, they didn't look as tough. They didn't look as physical. Illinois' defense was handing out some pain. Nebraska won and got it rolling, but it's kind of a growing process. But here is Coach Kavanaugh on what he wants, that toughness from this offensive line this year.
We talked about one snap and clear. You got to have that toughness and you got to move on, you know what I mean? Can't let it rattle you. Can't let it shake you. One, like I said earlier, unwavering toughness. It's your mentality. You know what I mean? You got to trust what you do.
Find a way. Kev sounds pretty riled up. He sounds like an O-line coach. The old war horse. And he means it. If you get beat, you get beat. It's going to happen. Don't let it derail you. And I think at times, guys let it derail them. And I know for sure that, yes, Nick Gates, he didn't handle the bowl game like he wanted, but damn it, he's tried to respond this fall with a different attitude. It's a life lesson. So the toughness is there and the ability to move on. I think as a whole, this team really needs to embrace that amnesia mentality. Or if it doesn't go well, move on. Tango on, right? Because you've grown up, and guys that are seniors this year are part of kind of Bo's classes and recruits and culture. You're shifting culture. But it's hard to unlearn what you've kind of seen, right? In the last 5 to 7 years, it's gone from bad to worse, or you're waiting for something bad to happen, or you've not been able to handle success to match your talent level. It's gone wrong, it's gone sideways, and it's mushroom cloud time with some of the meltdowns. And they're preaching right now, forget about the rearview mirror and just keep marching forward. Just learn from it, get better from it, but don't let it own you. And I think that's key. And you have some fresh perspective and maybe certainly a non-defeatist attitude or a waiting for the other shoe to drop or something bad will happen. Because what do you have now? You've got a new quarterback that you feel good about. I mean, guys can say, oh, wow, watched him on scout team, see him making throws now. We got a chance. There's some belief. Whereas last year, year one, end of the Pelini era, maybe you just had some straight-up doubt because when has it worked out before? And then your first couple of years of Riley, what is this guy? Now it's kind of his thing with some of his guys and his quarterback, and he has not just kind of stood pat with, you know, Oregon State East. He has made changes on his staff, and they've been pretty painful changes, frankly, if you want to talk personal feelings for people, guys that have been with him for decades. There's just a lot there to work with. So that toughness, you got to be mentally tough, not just physically. And if you're mentally tough, maybe you become a little bit more physically tough. Young pups, some of these young guys, man, they're doing a great job of pushing the older guys. I'm talking Reardon. I'm talking Farniak. I'm talking Bo Wilson. They're seeing some time. Here is Coach Cav on those young guys that like to hit people.
Love them. They're tough guys. They love what they're doing. Just got to keep growing in our system. I see progress. You know what I mean? So that's fun.
Yeah, they're getting better. They're good. Cut three here. When it comes to pushing older guys, how it creates competition, that's a great thing.
I hope so. That's their job. You know what I mean? We got to have competitive every day, you know, make each other better. And that's what I see right now. We're grinding out there and competing. Got to get better and better every day through the process.
Works for him. Works for me. See how that O-line keeps rocking. And Riley will give you a thought or two on practice, post-practice tomorrow. We'll say goodbye on a Friday as Hail Varsity Radio continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And we're back.
Fellas, you think we could listen to the radio?
On Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes! That's awesome!
Thank you, Stifler. Cole Conrad spent a little bit of time discussing his goals and what he likes about this team. We'll get into some comments that Gerald Foster also had, but here's Cole and what this line wants to be.
Yeah, just kind of how we finished, kind of the sour taste that the bowl game left in our mouth. And that was one thing that really motivated me personally, and the O-line as well. Just having, you know, kind of not ending the bowl game as we should have. So, yeah, for sure that moving into this season, we kind of remember that.
So that's some of the motivation and goals and likes. Is there a previous cut from Cole we can get into on that? We'll hit that, and that might be a little more on par with goals and likes here about this offensive line.
We have some experience, some guys coming back, so I think, you know, the sky's the limit. You know, we want to be perfect. We want to protect the quarterback out there. We want to run the ball. We want to win ball games. So that's overall what it comes down to, is win the ball games.
So win the game, run the football, take ownership of that offensive line. So plenty to get to with the storylines of week one. Freshman, former freshman, the quarterback, the offensive line, the running game. In week two, again, that outside linebacker spot, do they find a guy that can cover and rush? They stay injury free. Here's what I think you need to be excited about, is how this is the first time in a while Nebraska's had 10 linemen, 10 offensive linemen, two groups, and two groups of dudes that look ready to go. You factor in the internal competition with guys like Wilson, guys like Reardon, guys like Farniak, pushing a Neville, pushing a Gates, pushing a Foster, pushing a Farmer. That will keep you on edge. It's supposed to, but when have you had it? I mean, maybe in a couple instances, but not a guy right behind you. You have it. And then it's center also. So you have that. You have that internal line, those twos, getting a shot. I mean, Jalen Barnett, he is really engaged, at least a few times I've seen him. His body continues to kind of firm up. Redshirt sophomore. 4-star, best lineman in Oklahoma, not sniffing the field with the first 10. But it's not like he's waving the white flag either. He's working on it. But that's one dude that's supposed to be in your rotation, and he's not. So you've got dudes that can play ball there, and they're pushing each other. Now you factor in Porella's merry band of psychos in that front three. Just make it better. Great to be with you today. Thanks for spending time with us on Hail Varsity. can log on HailVarsity.com or the ESPN Lincoln app, or yes, iTunes for the podcast. Take us with. Big thanks to Danny. Big thanks to Colton. We'll talk to you tomorrow, weekend edition at 7 a.m. with Hail Varsity. Thanks.